The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever that they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called 'Rabbi.' You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. So here's a little thought for you for the day. You ever stop to consider how many of the most important things in your life you did not choose? All the most important things in your life were things that you were born with, whether you wished them to be the case or not. Nobody chose whether they would become a boy or a girl. I know these days people pretend, deep down in their hearts, they know nobody chooses that, right? You're born with it. Nobody chooses the family into which they're born, who your brothers and sisters are going to be, who your parents are going to be. Nobody chooses whether they're going to be born rich or poor. Nobody chooses their nationality. Nobody chooses the era of history into which they're born. You ever stop to consider just how many of the most important things in your life you didn't choose at all? You were dealt a hand long before you were born, and you play those cards as well as you possibly can. But even though you didn't choose the circumstances of your birth, you do choose what to do with those circumstances. You do, in fact, choose who you will become. And just as an aside, regardless of the circumstances into which anyone in this world is born, everyone is given enough grace by God to become a saint. You do, in fact, choose who you become. And that might explain why Jesus hates hypocrisy so much. You look through the scriptures and you find that our Lord reserves his harshest words not for the worst sinners, but for the biggest hypocrites, those who deliberately and publicly falsify who they really are. The scribes and the Pharisees, they widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Phylacteries, I might have mentioned before, a phylactery is just a box. And you'd strap this box to your forehead, or you'd strap this box to your wrist when you went to pray, and inside that box was a scroll of the scriptures. But if your phylactery was wider than the next guy, it was kind of like biblical era virtue signaling, right? It was like saying, "Look at me, I'm batting for the right team. I'm not like the rest of the guys. Look how great I am." Or they lengthen their tassels. Rabbis had four tassels at the end of their garment. They stood for the four pillars of the covenant. But if your tassel was longer than the next guy's, it was kind of like biblical era virtue signaling. Look at me. Look how great I am. I'm not like the other people. Sometimes, by the way, people will hear these statements of our Lord and they'll assume that Jesus is against some kind of public display of religion. And just as an aside, you might want to stop and ask yourself this question. There may once upon a time long ago have been a time in which a public display of your faith was very societally profitable to you. But does anybody still believe that's the case? These days you profit not by displaying your faith. You profit rather by hiding your faith. You know, but that's just an aside. A public manifestation of exactly who you were not. This is what Jesus reserves his harshest criticism for. And he loves, by contrast, sincerity. Now, sincerity, that's a word with an interesting etymology. The word sincere comes from the days in the ancient Roman Empire in which people would sell marble in public places. Now, you know how it is with marble. It has pits in it and it has holes in it. And there were always unscrupulous businessmen who would cover over the holes in the marble with wax to make people think the marble was solid. Now, the Latin word for wax is cera, C-E-R-A. But if your marble was solid, you would put a sign on it that said, sine cera, without wax. The root of our word, sincere. So what do we do to become sincere? Well, it's actually remarkably simple. It's acquired by practicing virtue. So let's stop and talk about what virtue is for just a moment. What's a virtue? A virtue is a habit. What's a habit? Let's talk about that for just a moment. A habit is the residue of all of your past actions with the disposition to repeat them. So, for example, if I learn to play a musical instrument, that's basically a habit. I practice, all the residue of that practice sticks with me. It's a disposition to repeat it. If I can speak a foreign language, it's just a habit. How do you learn? You practice. The residue of all that practice stays with you, and it gives you a disposition to repeat it again. It's a habit. So what's a virtue? It's a habit for doing good. It's the residue of all your past good actions with the disposition to repeat them. We contrast this with a vice. A vice is the residue of all your past bad actions with the disposition to repeat them. Some people wonder why they have such a hard time overcoming sin. The answer is because they've developed a vice. They developed a bad habit. And how do you develop a habit that develops this sincerity? It's very simple. You do it. You do it just by doing it. Stop stopping and start starting. Now don't misunderstand. This is not the same thing as holiness. This is not the same thing as salvation. These are far, far more important concepts. Anybody can have virtue just like anybody can play a musical instrument. It's not the same thing as holiness. It's not the same thing as salvation, which is a total gift of God's grace. However, without solid virtues, it's very, very hard to be holy, and it's very, very hard to find salvation. Because sin always has a way of weaseling its way back in. So the message when you hear Jesus speak about the scribes and the Pharisees is just start. Start wherever you are. And the great thing about sincerity is it can't be faked, and it can't be hidden. Our saint for the day, St. Rose of Lima, publicly accused of wrongdoing, as were so many of the saints, as was Christ himself, publicly accused of all kinds of terrible things and public sins, publicly accused because of the terrible penances that she would do, and everybody knew about it. I think they set people on edge. Funny thing about accusations, they're like slinging mud. Mud might stick to mud, but mud doesn't stick to polished marble. Sincerity and virtue have a way of defending themselves. It's what our Lord loves. It's what we should strive to develop. Starting today, we'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. St. Rose of Lima, pray for us.